Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our traditional pre-close briefing. I think over the past year, we made an announcement to shareholders that we were going to go through a significant reshaping of our specialist banking business, and the aim was to improve returns and simplify our business model. And I think that that decision was taken around about October, November last year, and we spent most of the period up until the other day when you saw some announcements executing on that particular strategy. So you're all well versed to the fact that the Australian bank, which incorporated the professional finance and asset finance business, was sold to Bank of Queensland. That was completed on the 31st of July and paid for on that date. I think you saw more recently we announced on the 9th of September the sale of the UK Kensington business to Blackstone and Texas Pacific Group. It's still subject to regulatory approval and some other conditions, but they have paid a forfeitable deposit, and we expect that transaction to conclude over the next 4 to 5 months, depending on how long it takes to get regulatory approval. Then we also sold the Irish piece of our mortgage business called Start. The sale of the UK business wasn't only Kensington, it was all the other non-core mortgage activities that we'd conducted over the years. Similarly, the Irish business came from Kensington and some mortgage activities that we conducted directly over the last, up until pre-crisis. Post-crisis, we stopped doing it, but we still had to collect and manage the book. And we sold that to Lone Star last Friday. And it's also still subject to regulatory approval. And they've also paid quite a significant forfeitable deposit in the event that the transaction doesn't happen. Having concluded these transactions, and obviously we still have to complete on two of them, but if these transactions had been done by the end of March last March 2014, our Core Tier 1 ratio would have gone up from 8.8% to 11.1%. In the UK, we would have seen a significant improvement in our leverage ratio from 7.4% to 8.9%. Our legacy book, which we've disclosed to you and is in runoff mode, would have been reduced by £1.5 billion, and our total assets, those are balance sheet assets which include securitized assets, would have dropped off by £6 billion. So quite a significant change to the shape of the balance sheet, and that gives us a lot more scope to build our core business in our core target markets. I think if we look at the expected results for the period to the end of September, we've seen again quite good growth in the wealth and investment business, and we've seen growth in the asset management business. Both divisions have benefited from higher average funds under management. We have seen quite good inflows into those businesses, £800 million in the wealth business and £2.7 billion into the asset management business up to the end of August. I think that the specialist banking business will also report the results ahead of the prior year. South African business has done very well and will be substantially ahead of the prior year. The UK business still has legacy, and it could be marginally behind the prior year. Australia, we will no longer report separately. It still reported a loss for the period, but that was as a result of a final level of impairments, which we don't expect in the future. So overall, the specialist bank will show an improved set of results. I think that clearly the Rand has been a big factor again, more not on the balance sheet, because although with yesterday's news it went walking again, but more on the effect on the income statement, with the average exchange rate being 19% weaker Rand against pound sterling for the similar reported period. That does have an impact on operating results, and we do expect operating profit to be ahead of the prior year in sterling, which would be a substantial increase in rands. Revenue is expected to be marginally ahead of the prior year, again in sterling, and recurring income as a percentage of operating revenue has improved to 74% as we continue to build out our franchise businesses. We also see expenses marginally ahead of the prior year. So overall, one can say we're still trying to drive revenue. It is still tough to grow revenue, but we are seeing some improvement on that front. We are building out some units, so there is some new expense coming into the system, but overall one would expect the expenses to be pretty stable going forward, particularly when you start taking out the business that have been sold. But that is not really reflected in these results yet. So again, we've seen with the new money coming in plus a reasonable performance from markets during this period, you've seen that third-party funds under management have grown to just under £120 billion. Again, that was at the end of August. We saw a decrease in customer deposits if you include Australia in March. If you exclude Australia, you would have seen that they would have increased by 4% for the remaining banking businesses. Similarly, on core loans and advances, a decrease overall, which is Australia moving off, but a increase if you exclude that number of 7%. So we are seeing some lending activity both in the UK and in South Africa. I think on the balance sheet, I think the balance sheets are very sound. I think we, even before the sales, I think we're quite liquid, but we have seen quite a big increase in demand for credit, certainly in the UK. And you've seen a slight shift in our loan deposit ratio, it was 74% at the end of August. Again, that is partially affected by Australia moving off, but also partially affected by the fact that there's increased demand for credit. I think capital ratios are all within our target capital adequacy ratios or ranges. We do expect our core Tier 1 ratio to be slightly below the 10% that we're targeting by 2016. Clearly, with the Kensington and Start sale, that would change in the UK and that would go somewhere around the 11% mark that we spoke about earlier. But South Africa, we will probably be moderately below, 0.1 below, 0.2 below the 10% target, but we're confident of getting there reasonably comfortably. And again, we have very sound leverage ratios on a Bar 3 fully loaded basis. And they probably, the UK is going to track up to almost somewhere close to 9%, and South Africa will be just on 7-ish, which are both very good ratios. I think on impairments, the picture's starting to look okay. You can see the trend, and this is September on September over the last, 7, 8 years. We have just got below the 208 level in impairments. And clearly, we've seen a normalization of impairments in South Africa. We expect them for the period to be 12% lower than the prior year. We're still seeing some elevation in impairments as we try and clear the UK legacy portfolio. So the credit loss ratio is expected to be about 0.71%. That includes Australia, which is similar to what it was in September last year, and a 0.62 if you exclude Australia. What we lose is Australian assets, but we still had some impairments. So that's why that other ratio is a little bit elevated. But clearly, I think we're probably at the bottom end of an impairment cycle now in South Africa. The economy is quite weak, and we haven't seen yet the impact of these mining strikes and the very weak economy on our clients. They all seem to be performing okay, but we have had a weak economy, and as I said, we're probably at the bottom of that kind of cycle. So it's the lowest it's been for a long time. I think looking at different divisions, I think asset management, again, saw quite good growth in its total funds under management, 9%. Had good inflows, and it's maintained a competitive long-term investment performance. And we believe that they will be reasonably ahead of the similar period last year, notwithstanding the exchange rate. So still, performing at a reasonable level. I think wealth is performing well ahead of last year. We've again seen higher funds under management. We've seen good inflows. We've seen a continuation of the improvement in operating margins as we continue to benefit from the integration of the businesses that we've acquired. We're now expanding the business by hiring in select investment professionals, and I think that the South African business has benefited quite a lot from a closer alignment with a private bank, and you've seen more recently a launch of a philosophy called One Place, which allows our clients to come into one place to deal with Investec, and I think that is starting to work very well, and we're seeing a lot of cross-pollination between the two. So now that we don't have to deal with all that rubbish, we can concentrate again on growing our franchise, innovating, and I think you're starting to see a fair amount of innovation coming back from our group and trying to build our brand globally. I think in the specialist bank, we've seen, as I said to you, good loan growth, relatively stable lending margins. We have seen a continuation of reduction of cost of funds in the UK, and I think as a firm, we are clearly very liquid. So we have seen an increase in net interest income during this period. In investment and trading income, we saw an increase in South Africa and a slight decline, a decline in the UK. So we have had a good performance from our South African and UK unlisted investment portfolio and a weaker performance from our Hong Kong portfolio. And we've seen lower customer trading income really because of low levels of volatility that has been experienced in particular in the interest rate and forex markets. We've seen good fees and commissions in our private client transactional and professional finance activities. We've seen very good performance from our UK corporate finance business. I think that has been very active. And we've been seeing good corporate fees in the UK, with South Africa's more or less in line with the prior year. And then on the cost front, as I said earlier, South African costs are running in line with inflation, or marginally ahead, but not far. And UK costs, fixed costs, we expect to be slightly higher than the prior period. That's in the specialist bank. And that ignores some of the assets, the businesses that would have been sold, because they will still be in our hands at the end of September, with the exception of Australia. So if we look at additional aspects and our tax rate, expected to be between 19 and 20%. The gain on our sale of our subsidiaries is flat, that's really a decent gain in Australia, offset by losses on the sale of, in particular, the Irish subsidiary. And we made a call that we wanted to clear that, and we didn't want to hang around waiting for better times, although you see the Irish economy improving. But it still was a call that we made strategically to clear that business, and that was the deal that we saw last Friday. The goodwill write-offs both on Australia and Kensington, the bulk of that item would be Kensington. And then in Australia, we had to pay tax on our gain, and we had to reverse the deferred tax asset because the visibility of the kind of profits we require to absorb that deferred tax asset will take too long for us to carry a debit. So we have reversed the deferred tax asset and recognised, taxed the profit on sale, and that would be a £33 million charge. So that is really the effect of all the strategic initiatives that we have taken. You've got almost a very moderate effect on tangible net worth. That £33 million would be the effect. None of it qualified for regulatory, because deferred tax asset doesn't rank as regulatory, so zero effect on regulatory capital, and we've dropped our risk-weighted assets quite substantially as a consequence, and that's why you're seeing the build-up in capital. And there's no real effect on net income, because we were making some profits in Kensington, UK, offset by losses in Ireland, and Australia, as it was last year, was loss-making. So the whole effect of the restructuring has been neutral on income and giving us a lot more capital and liquidity to build our business, and taking away stuff that clearly we defocus as a group. This is the first half period where we had to put in the effect for the full period of the sale of the minority interests in asset management, and you've got that other forex hedge on that affects us, and we also have minorities because we have to consolidate the property fund. So that's that £11 million that would come out of our income. And our weighted number of shares is down a little bit, and that's really, you know, we need to buy in shares for our staff share scheme and the like. And so that's what that represents, that small drop in number of shares in issue. So I think in conclusion, we've completed now the bulk of our restructuring shaping. That does significantly simplify our day-to-day operations and does strengthen our financial capability quite substantially. I think there are still some legacy assets that we have to deal with in the UK. And I think we have, but, you know, those things we are dealing with. And as we said to you previously, it will take us about 3 to 4 years to actually clear them completely. And that also depends on economic conditions. But, you know, they're becoming a smaller and smaller part of our lives. So we believe that our focus going forward will be to grow and build our franchise in our core areas of activity. We're back to understanding who the clients are that we need to serve and, you know, what products and services we want to offer those clients. And hopefully all of this will enable us to improve our returns to our shareholders, which is we know what you guys want. So that's really an update of where we are in life. And, you know, we'll see you in November to give you unpack the detail. Questions? We'll start in South Africa.
Hi, Stephen. What could those remaining legacy assets realize, potentially?
Well, we hope our carrying value, but they loans.
What's the carrying value?
Now, there's a whole schedule, which you can look in the book last year, and you'll get an update on exactly where it is. I can't give you the exact number today. But they loans, of which some are in our non-performing portfolio, some are performing. They're just assets that we, you know, for clients that we don't think we should, who are outside of our target client base, and alternatively loans in default that we are on a recovery process on. So you can get the exact details up to March, and Ursula can give you, we told you it drops by £1.5 billion. So it's a loan portfolio of various types of loans. As I said, most of it is not in default, but our defaulted loans do live in there. Other questions? Nothing. Okay, we'll go to London. Bernard, are there any questions?
Right, let's try again. Congratulations on your pace of restructuring. The question I had was on surplus capital. I wondered if you thought there was surplus capital in the group, given where the leverage ratio is and where the Cotier 1 sits at, and what is your ideas for what you would do with the surplus capital. Do you think that shareholders will benefit from upsides to where the dividend payout ratio is now? Thank you.
Yeah, I think we do see, you know, we want to grow out our core franchise in the UK, and that's, you know, our private banking franchise is nowhere yet, and we're seeing a lot of activity in the UK, which is where the surplus capital would really live. And, sorry, now you're gone again. Can you hear?
Yes.
So we're going to, at this stage, keep that surplus capital and try and deploy it in building our core franchise. So, you know, I don't want to talk dividend policy. We've got a dividend policy. Our range is between, you could say, 2 to 3, and we'll live within that range. We've got a wider range, but that's really the key range.
Could I just... Let's just come back to it and another way. So are you able to then, given the risk-weighted intensity of the assets that are coming off balance sheet, are you able to grow the core franchise in terms of, because your asset and wealth don't need as much RWAs to grow the profit stream, are you able to allocate as much assets in the specialty bank as you would to absorb the risk weights that are coming off restructuring? Thank you.
Well, I think we were a little bit below where we needed to be. There's been a lot of change in terms of what regulators expect you to have and what rating agencies expect you to have compared to pre-crisis. So we've had to build up our capital to get to new levels. We gave you a target of minimum core tier 1 of 10%. Our leverage ratio above 6, and we're way above the leverage ratio. So, this is something we're going to have to manage. If we are generating a lot of surplus capital because the mix of our activities are weighted towards the wealth and the asset management area, and we can't deploy the capital effectively, then we will change our we'll move to the lower end of the dividend cover range. So if we're unable to, we have to move to the middle or where we've been living over the last while. At one stage, at the start of the financial crisis, we went to the higher end of the cover range. So I think our cover range is wide enough to pay the appropriate dividend. But we think that we can deploy the capital in building our core client franchise. If that proves to be not the case, then we'll have to, rethink our capital planning. And at the moment, we think, we have the right capital to be able to grow our core franchise. And we will not be changing our dividend policy at this point in time. And, we still have to execute all these deals, so it's early days. We've still got a few more months. We've got to complete,
Okay, another question, Stephen. Hi, this is Neil Welch from Macquarie. Two questions, actually. The first is you referred to the beginning, potentially, of an impairment cycle within South Africa, with impairments at around 62 basis points for the group on an underlying basis. Perhaps you could give an idea what the sensitivity would be for a full impairment cycle in South Africa for the group impairment ratio. Right. The second question was on the asset and wealth management businesses, and I was wondering whether you were seeing in the asset management business any operating margin headwinds, particularly over the next 2 years, particularly in the European part of the business, and in the wealth management business, whether revenue margins have now stabilized or continue to fall.
Now, that is about 7 questions in one. So you may have to repeat some of them if I forget, but I'll start off with the impairments. Our South African impairments in this period are down to about 0.3. Now, that's in a normalized environment where we would expect them to be, but the economy has been weak, so I don't know what's going to come. In our client base, we haven't really felt that yet, but we don't know what's to come. On the UK, as I said, we're still elevated because we've got legacy. Pre-crisis, our impairment levels in the UK were negligible. Now, clearly, as as the legacy runs off, so the impairment charge in the UK is going to come off. So living at around about between 0.5 and 0.6 should be the number. We peaked at 0.75 in South Africa. We peaked at much higher in the UK as a consequence of the financial crisis. So I still think that for the group, impairments can be still come down from where they were, and as an overall group, because we won't have Australia anymore, and where they were elevated in Australia, and we've cleaned that out. And South Africa is low at the moment. It may tick up if the economy remains as weak as it's been. And the UK one will expect them to come down going forward into the future as we clear the legacy. So I think then your second question was around margins in the asset management business. The margins have sustained themselves during this period. And, it's hard to answer whether they're going to become under pressure or not. At the moment, they're sustaining themselves. If we move to the wealth business, we do expect to see a continuation in improvement of margins as we deal with some of the legacy, not the legacy, the issues, the tail of some of the acquisitions that we've made. So the areas of big potential improvement is great integration of our Irish wealth business, which is still below scale. We've had to carry the... Are they gone? Huh? Are they gone, Nick, Greg? Yeah.
In terms of your changing your business model, presumably your philosophy going ahead, as you've been talking about now, is going to also be a capital light expansion program.
Yeah, but we still need to build scale in some of our banking businesses. So the big area that you will use capital in is rolling out the private banking franchise in the UK. And we still still use capital. But we're now 50-50 from being 80-20 in 2007. That's a big shift. So what we've cut out was up to 2007, 2008, we had this originate-to-distribute concept. That we've cut out. We're back to... When we lend money, it's to a core client, and what else can we do with that client as opposed to just lending money? And that's the big shift in philosophy over the last 7 years, as opposed to originate, package, sell. So that's for the shadow banks, let them do that stuff. Yes. Well, you've got to lend money there to build the client franchise. Okay, thank you for attending, and hope you have a good day. Cheers.